Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. Oh, my soul, praise Him, for He is thy help and salvation. All ye who hear, now to His temple draw near. Draw near in glad adoration. Praise to the Lord, who are all things so wondrously radiant, shelters thee under His wings, yet so gently sustained. Hast thou not seen how all thy longings have been granted in what He ordained?
Good morning and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. If you're visiting with us for the first time today, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your bulletin and drop it in the collection plate. Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for worshiping with us today. At the 3:30 Bible class this afternoon, Pastor Tomlinson will be leading the discussion to biblically answer the question, is God really in control? And we'll be looking at God's sovereignty in a fallen world. Our quarterly congregational business meeting will be held directly following this worship service. We encourage you to attend if you can, in order to be brought up to date on the various issues affecting this church body, and to express any relevant topics or ideas or questions within the congregation. Also, note that we are without running water at the moment, which you may have noticed. But they're coming to pull the pump out of the well this afternoon. And so, if your car is parked in this parking lot, would you please move it if you intend to be here beyond 1 o'clock? Means that after 1 p.m. this afternoon, if you're going to be here, will you refrain from parking in the parking lot and park out in front, if you would be so kind. Our scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is from 1 Chronicles, chapter 29, verses 12 and 13. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thy hand is power and might. And in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. One other note, there is an insert in your bulletin concerning a prayer breakfast for the benefit of South Valley Pregnancy Care Center, which is one of the missionaries that we support, and that date is not mentioned here, but it is on August 19th, if you're interested. We will be singing now the first and last stanzas of the hymns this morning. So let us begin our worship with hymn number 10, Our God, Our Help in Ages Past. Let us continue our worship with hymn number 213, The Light of the World is Jesus. Please stand now as we sing hymn number 389, I Am Resolved.
remain standing for prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, we come into thy presence in the name of our High Priest, the Lord Jesus, who is interceding for us at the right hand of the Father, as said the Scripture. Father, thank you that we open the doors of Bethel Baptist Church physically in this place, at Morgan Hill, California, and then in many other places, in different homes, in different areas of places, and rest homes who are listening to our broadcast via radio and via internet. Not only in this country, but in many other countries. And so, Father, we are privileged to hold the word of truth very highly. And then you open the doors so the people may hear that there is one truth, absolute truth, without any doubt, the word of the living God. Thank you, Father. And now, Lord, we, as a body of believers, we have some people who are in need of the touching hand of mercy and grace from you. Donald McDowell, Father, he is at home with food poison after his vacation. And Jerry West in Costa Rica very soon will have to be reviewed by the hospitals in Houston, Texas. And we pray that the progress be there and that your hand of mercy be upon his body. Then Loretta Forrest, our giant who is coming down to be one day with you very soon. Father, we pray that as she is now on down the hill, looking to that glorious day when she will be on the top of the hill. Father, we thank you for her spirit. We thank you for her wonders of love and compassion. And Father, we thank you that even though she knows it is the last moments of her life, she shared the gospel with anybody who is at her bed. Thank you, Lord, for such a giant that was from the very beginning of our church here, one of the founders. Thank you, Jesus, for her. Lord, we thank you for our missionaries. What a church will do without missionaries. And so we have Fred and Carol Lewis. Carol has the surgery already and is on the recovery. Carl and Ruth Knott, who are in Seville, Spain. Eusebio and Marisa Perez in Malaga, Spain. David and Denise Rode in Papua New Guinea. Giovanni and Barbara Avendano in Guatemala, Central America. Martha Foretti working on the rehabilitation center. And Father, thank you that we got a report to present to the church on what you have done through that beautiful dinner that our church paid for the people there in Argentina. The Salt Valley Pregnancy Care Center, who is active now and moving on in Gilroy, the Christian Athletic Association, reaching the young people in the city of San Jose, and Daniel and Miriam Lacey, Daniel in the East Coast this weekend for the race. So, Father, thank you that you gave these missionaries the opportunity to be our ambassadors. And today, Father, I pray our church will vote and approve Dante, as our brother Dante is already in the Amazon River, is a dentist, and he used his abilities and his profession, abandoned his money-making machine, and he is there on the boats and on the different islands, pulling teeth and revealing Jesus as Savior. Lord, what a jewel our board of deacons is going to propose to the church, and I pray that we unanimously will see the vision of this man. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to serve you. We have some inconvenience today with our building, but this is proper. We have no inconvenience with you. We communicate day and night with you. There is no motor that is going to be broken when we pray, because Jesus have made the bridge. He is the strong bridge between man and God. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus, and these never will be broken. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to serve you. And now, Father, our church is being faithful. Our people here are faithful to the ministry, and you have provided for us. We have enhanced the auditorium with new lighting. We have enhanced the parking lot with a new parking lot. And more things are coming because your people are faithful in the giving. And, Lord, more missionaries will be added, because a church without missionaries is dead. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. The thing that we have here at Bethel is Jesus, our Lord. We are not preaching how to improve your life. We are preaching how to transform your life through the life of Jesus. Thank you for the giving. Thank you for the offering. Bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated, please.
Of your face,
your loving eyes restore our vision, your mighty acts deserve our praise. Burning fires that were once desires return again through your grace. Keep the race before us.
Standing firm in our eyes,
keep the race before us,
and reward us, Lord, by your grace,
with crowns of righteousness from the righteous judge, when we finish the race. Fears of the past shall at last, if we faithful stay.
Let your passion consume us,
as to the truth we hold. With our calling so sure, victory secure, steadfast we press to the goal.
Standing firm in our arms,
keep the race before us,
and reward us, Lord, by your grace,
with crowns of righteousness from the righteous judge. crowns of righteousness from the righteous judge. When we have finished the race,
thank you very much, choir. Will you please take your Bibles now and turn to the book of Proverbs. If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 389. We will be reading Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 27. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Proverbs 4, verses 20 through 27. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Amen. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our gracious Father, we thank you for every spiritual blessing that we have in Christ by your grace alone. We lack nothing. We thank you that we know by faith that we have already passed from death to life, all made possible by the life, death, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, Father, to always concentrate our minds and attention to the wisdom teaching in the Scriptures which lead to life and that expose the folly of the wisdom of this world. We pray now for our pastor and teacher, Gabriel Otero, as he comes to bring the message from your word. Bless his teaching and our hearing that we may give full attention to those things which lead to life and apply them. We pray that these blessings may extend to all those listening on the radio and internet, tape and CD. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Would you please be seated?
Thank you, my brother, and you do well if you open your Bible back to the book of Proverbs, there in page 389, if you are using our Bible, whether you are here or in different cities of the United States. I marvel each time somebody shake my hand and say, I know who you are. I hear you over the radio. I hear you over the internet. It's just so beautiful. We are engaged in the studies of the 31 chapters of the book of Proverbs. Because if you want to learn how to live, I think it is very important that you read the book of Proverbs. Because the book of Proverbs will give you the secrets of life, not from man's perspective, which psychology does, but from God's perspective and teaching you in a marvelous way. Solomon, having warned about us about basic laws of life already, remember the law, chapter 1, the law of knowledge. What does the Bible say about this issue? You're going to get married? What does the Bible say about this issue? Should a man marry a man? Should a woman marry a woman? Or should a man marry a woman? Now that 50 years ago, don't have a question like that. But today we have to go to the Bible to answer that question. All right? Should I buy a house bigger than my possibilities to pay? Well, you look in the book of Luke and Jesus will tell you what to do about it and so on. What the church is supposed to do. I want to speak in the business meeting to the church and relate it to my own life when I made decisions when we started this church. And then you look in the Bible and find out. The first law is the law of knowledge. Before you take a class of science in the university, you go to the Bible, because some people are still thinking that you come from the monkeys. Maybe he looks like a monkey and he justifies himself that you know, we come from the monkeys. You have to know in the Bible. The Bible tells you where you come from. The Bible tells us when things began. The book of Genesis, chapter 1 to 11, is the foundation of our stand as Christians. All right. The second law was the law of wisdom. Now, not only you know in your head, now you apply what you know. All right. Suppose that you're a young fellow and you said, well, Pastor, I want to marry this young lady. I know the Bible said I should not marry an unbeliever, but boy, she looks good to me. Now, see, that's lack of wisdom. You need to, we're not talking about how good looks the girl, we're talking about what God said, who you should marry, and vice versa. Alright? So that's wisdom. Then we talk about law number 3, the law of faith. Remember in chapter 3, lean not to your own understanding. When people said, I understand this, I'm trembling. Because, it is not your understanding, is God's understanding. What really take place in life. And it's very difficult. It's very, especially in America, where we are bombarded by television and newspapers and magazines about the things of life that really are irrelevant to the Christian, but they are there. All right? So remember, the law of faith. Whatever God said, that's what I'm going to do. That's faith. That's faith. I ask many people, are you a Christian? Yes, sir. How do you know? He said, well, I'm a member of this church. Now, that's not Christianity. Christianity is an individual who practices what God really said. So, 3 basic laws. Now, in chapter 4, Solomon is going to teach his son how to do well. Now, you have these 3 basic laws, knowledge, wisdom, and faith. Now, son, you are in the world. One day I'm going to die, and you're going to take the kingdom, and you're going to take a wife for yourself, and I want to show you what to do about it. Where you're going to have a guideline and how to behave. A great lesson, simple, but a great lesson in how to live the Christian life. That's what I call this, the law of life. How to live your Christian life in a way that you, like psychology said, you will be successful. I was listening to a psychologist. I'm a psychologist myself, to the shame. But I tell you, I was listening to a psychologist who said to a lady, you know, in Spanish, there is a station AM 1170, and I'm listening, and was with Raquel, and sometimes she have good counsel. Sometimes she said, oh, darling, just dump this husband of yours. And why? Because there were some symptoms that were really bad. Well, the Bible doesn't say that, you know. The Bible said the ideal marriage is not divorce. What happened if my husband is a little dummy? Well, that's the husband you have, you know. You have to accept it, all right? You cannot exchange it for somebody else. You cannot go like a car, say, I don't want this car, give me another one. You cannot do that. That's the way it is. All right, now let's look and focus ourselves in this chapter and see the methods that God is going to teach us through Solomon how to live a successful Christian life. Not a successful life, but a successful Christian life. I got that word Christian in bold letters, all right? Here they are. Here is the first method. We must have a continual regard to the Word of God. Let's work in verse 20. Proverbs 4 and verse 20. First he said, bow down to the Word of God. Look at verse 20. My son, the King James said, attend to my word. That's an old word, attend, from the British, who means you serve someone. And the translation in today's will be, you incline. You know, in South America, they still have servants in their home. And when the Mama requests something. Please, Maria, come here, because everybody is Maria as a servant. Here is Matilda, I guess. But over there is Maria. Come here. She will bow herself to see what the boss really wants to. Here you have unions, you can do it. But over there, that's the way it is. All right? No offense to Leo. But this is the way it is. All right? You know, customs of the country, and the people don't feel bad about it. They are serviced, and they are taken care of very well. And so here is the word that is used. My son, bow yourself to the word of God. Other translations of the Bible use the word be attentive to the word of God. It's more than be attentive. It's exactly like King James said, attend to my word. You have to really regard the word of God above anything else. The word of God is your CEO. That's what it is. All right? That's what he said. Secondly, retain them carefully. Look at in verse 21. Let them not depart from thy eyes. You know what that means? That means you view them and you review them. Sometimes you read a paragraph. You say, I wonder what it is. Later on, review the same paragraph. Sometimes you do not understand the paragraph. You read it again until understanding really comes. It's very clear. Let them, verse 21, not depart from their eyes. Don't say, well, I don't understand this and put it away. You look on it, and you look on it, and you pound it about it, and you move on. Don't let the word of God be secondary to anything else. Don't get a book in the library to understand the word of God. The word of God will help you to understand the book in the library. That's exactly what it is. Now, I confess to you, there are sometimes passages of the scripture that make me crazy. Because I look in the Hebrew and I look in the Greek and I read it and it takes me 30, 40 hours to develop something and understanding. But it's there. It's in the word of God. And it's for everybody. You don't need the Hebrew and Greek. So you don't depend on me. You depend on the Holy Spirit, all right? The Holy Spirit is the one who teaches the word of God. I guarantee to you, if you read for 1 hour every day the word of God, you learn something. You learn. And if your husband read the word of God to your wife, your home will improve. 100%. Your children will respect you more. You know, all these things happen when the word of God is read. So retain them carefully. Verse 21. Make them the center of your thinking. Look at what verse 21 said. Keep them, the second part of verse 21, keep them in the midst of thy heart. Correct word, midst. Other translation change the word midst. Midst is the old English word to say the very center of your heart. The heart is not the pump, blood pump. The heart is the center of human personality, your thinking. Let me show you. Verse, put one hand in Proverbs 4 and go with me to Proverbs 23. So just a few pages more. And Proverbs 23 and verse 7. You have to use the King James to get the right translation here. Proverbs 23 verse 7. Look at what the Bible said. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You know, the psychologist was saying yesterday on radio, Isabel is her name, and she was really outpouring what she learned in college, and she was saying to the listener, who said, you know, I have to change these habits of speaking bad words. What do you recommend? That was a great question. The only recommendation is be safe. But, you know, but she said, well, you need to have this method and the other. And then the listener said, where bad words come from? Oh, they come from my head. No, the Bible said the bad words come from your heart. So if your heart is filled with Satan or if your heart is filled with God, one of the two. And in order to fill your heart, the center of personality with God, you fill it by reading the scripture. If you do not read the scripture, you don't have God's opinion on you. You have your own opinion. And your own opinion could be right, could be wrong. And so here is what God is really saying. Make the Word of God the center of your thinking. I'm going to do that. I wonder what God said about it. I'm going to purchase this. I wonder how God will guide me to do this. In other words, you look in the Word of God how to do it. If you don't know, just phone the office and then say, Pastor, I need information about this. And I give you the information. I don't tell you the answer. I tell you the scripture. Somebody said, I want to get divorced. I print out 17 pages on the Bible about divorce. I give the paper and thank God the lady said, I was scared. Thank God. Thank God. You see, the Word of God has to be the center of your life, in your business, in your private life, every place you go. You are a Christian because the Word of God dwells within your personality. The center of your personality is the Word of the living God. All right? So we must have a continual regard to the Word of God. The law of life, you live by the Word of God. You live by the Word of God. Second law, we must make much of the Word because they are our spiritual food. Look at verse 22 now. The Word of God is, for they are life unto those that find them. The Word of God is food for your spiritual life. Now, I don't know what you like for your physical life. Hamburgers? You like tallarines with albondigas, hermana? All right? You know, meatballs with spaghetti, eh? I like a big ball, you know, and four or five albondigas, big albondigas, grandmama's albondigas, you know, and you feel good. I don't know what you like for it. I was telling Mary before the service, don't lose weight because if you lose weight, you lose prestige. See, when you are big, you have prestige. What do you like? I'm sure that you eat every day. I'm sure. I learned in America, you got to have a big breakfast. South America is very light. A big cup of coffee. I mean, this coffee is coffee. I put a spoon and the spoon stand. All right? A real coffee. And just a croissant. That's it. But at lunchtime, oh, man, you get two or three steaks, eggs on it, you know. And then at 10 o'clock in the night, again, two or three steaks, salad, you know. I know what they eat. I don't know what you eat, but we all eat. Otherwise, you die. Dr. McCormick can tell you. If you don't eat, you die. I worry about him. He's losing too much weight. Now, here's what it is. If you do not eat spiritually, you die spiritually. You could be a Christian. You could be a marvelous. You can recall the moment where God illuminates you and you believe in the Word of God. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian. A Christian is someone who sees Jesus as their substitute on the cross of Calvary and on the judgment day. That's a Christian. But you don't look like a Christian. Why? Because you have no spiritual food. Let me show you something in the book of Deuteronomy, to the left of your Bible, page 122, Deuteronomy chapter 8. Let me show you what the Bible says. Deuteronomy chapter 8, page 122. And let me read for you verses 11 to 14. Now, you know what the word Deuteronomy means. The Roman Catholic Church scholars has change the word here. The name of the book is the fifth book of Moses. But theo means two. Nomos means law. And so the name is a Greek name, means second time God gave the law. Remember, he gave the law in Exodus chapter 20, and then he gave the law again because Moses broke the law, so he gave the stones again on Deuteronomy chapter 12. And so that's what is called Deuteronomy, the second time the law. But really, this book was written at the foot of Mount Nebo when Israel was already accomplished the goal, ready to go into Canaan. And so Moses know that he's going to die, that God's going to take him away. And so Moses write recommendations for Christian living to the people. And look at what he says. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 11. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, and not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest then thou hast eaten and are full, and hast built good godly houses, and dwell therein, and when thy herd and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiply, and all that thou hast is multiply, then thy heart, thy thinking be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God. Is not that a picture of America? I wish this can be printed in the Mercury News on the first page. America, you forgot the Lord. That's what it is. And so that's what Solomon said there in verse 22. The word of God is food. And if you don't take it, very soon you forgot the Lord. I can't believe it. The people in America cannot pay taxes. Or they are in debt. I can't believe it. In a country where you earn anything you want to. I mean, if I was a pastor, I was in the marketplace, I tell you. I said, Lord, the boy, I became the owner of everything I went. Because, you know, there is no way to stop you to make yourself rich and rich. But, you know, people have become rich and rich. And the riches of this country have become their God. So he says in Proverbs 22, for they are life unto them that find it. If you find the word of God, you know, it's very seldom people find the word of God. Stand in an airport, not today because terrorism, but stand someplace in a corner. And said, do you read the word of God? See how many? Ask 1,000 people if they read the word of God. Maybe you got 10 or 12 to read the word of God. You found the word of God. All right, this is food for you. Now also there are medicine. Look at verse 22. Going back to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 22. Not only their life and health to all their flesh. They are medicine to you. Real medicine for you. The word of God becomes the healing power of God. And I'm not talking about a cut in your arms or a heart trouble. I'm talking about your head, your thinking. The word of God is the medicine you need. You do not need a psychologist. You do not need a psychiatrist. You need the word of God to make sense into your head. Of course, you have to believe it. That's what Jesus died on the cross. That's what Jesus said, you believe in the Father, believe also in me. And when you believe and you have Jesus in your heart, you have the word of God, and then becomes correcting yourself. A lot of people, you know, in theology, I'm sorry, but the world has become also crazy in the Christendom. And there are some people that are Catholics and are Protestant. And the Catholics are divided in 12 different legions. And the Protestants, I don't know, in 70. And one of them is Reform. And they ask me, are you Reform? No, say, I'm Transformed. You remember the time when America had those little transformers that you have a car and the children did like this and was something else? So I carry one with me. And so I said, no, I'm transformed. See what it is. That's what we are. We are no Protestant or Catholics. We're transformed people. Well, let me show it to you. Romans, I don't have the page number, but it's in the New Testament. You go to the right, you find Acts, and after Acts, you find Romans. Romans chapter 12. And I'm going to read two verses that will let you know what we are talking about here, that the word of God is medicine for you. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And now look in verse 2. That's the key verse. And be no conformed to this world, but be ye, no reform, be ye transformed. How you do that? By the renewing of your mind. See what we're talking about? Changing your mind. All right? That ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I'm going to say it. Raquel and I dated for 7 years. I wanted to play soccer. Raquel don't want to marry a soccer player. We were very busy in a mission about 30 kilometers from Buenos Aires, the two of us, and we take a train. I wish I, you know, the train moves, built by the British in the 1800s, to go to that place. And you know how young people are. One time you're happy with your girl. Another time the girl is not happy with you. So we are on this train station, and I think we have some words. And then she said, I think I changed my mind. All right, I said, you go on your way, and I go my way. So we went like that. And as we went, there were two doors to exit the station. But the two doors go to a tunnel that goes in the center. And so here we're walking, and then we meet again. And so I guess we change our mind again. You change your mind. When you change your mind, you go away from where you are. And that's what the Bible does for you. It's going to change your mind. Some people tell me, if I'm a Christian, should I stop smoking? Should I do this and the other? Don't do anything. If you're a Christian, don't try to do anything. Let the Word of God modify your life. The Word of God's going to change you. If you are a real Christian, the Word of God's going to teach you to appreciate your body so you don't smoke. The Word of God will tell you that a man with a man is sleeping and a woman with a woman is sleeping. This is an atrocity for God, because this is telling God you don't know what you created. And so the Word of God's going to teach you. Reformation? No, transformation. And transformation comes by reading the Word of God into your kukuza. Now, number three. We must have a continual regard to the Word of God. We must regard the Word of God as a spiritual food. And then, verse 23 to the end, we must watch the center of our human personality. Watch it. Now, look at verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Keep the center of your thinking with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. Take control of yourself. The psychologist will tell you, be yourself. God will tell you, take control of yourself with controlling the center of your heart. Let me go to Mark, the Gospel of Mark. You have Matthew and then Mark in chapter 7. In verse 21, Mark chapter 7 and verse 21. This is why Solomon asked you to have control of your heart. Mark 7:21. For, said Jesus, from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, death, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. And then Jesus said, verse 23, all these evil things come from within and defile the man. See, if you move to San Francisco, that San Francisco will not make you better or worse. We are born worse. We are born with sin. And that sin develops as a child grows. And mothers, you can testify to this. You see your children with some of your faults or some of your relatives' faults. You see, like the Bible says, until the fourth generation, they carry on that seed. The seed of sin. All right? Until God touch the center of that child, and then you become a man with a different personality. That's what it said. Keep thy heart. Watch the center of your heart. Are you responding to your wife from God's point of view or from your point of view? Are you kind and gentle? Or are you just sharp because people said, well, that's what my grandfather was. Well, he maybe was not a believer. But if you are a believer, the Bible says, you have no excuse to behave in the way you are. You have to behave in the way Jesus. Tremendous. Watch the center of your personality. Take control of yourself. I don't want to let Satan work in me. You know what somebody, unbeliever, told me that when I explained this, he said, well, then you are no longer yourself. You are Christ. So I wish I was fully Christ. He said, I wish I was totally Christ. My wife is so grateful. You know, that's the way it is. And people said, no, I don't want to be Christ, because pride. You know, this guy in San Francisco has a talk show called God Talks. Bernie. This morning he was talking about the sin of pride. And I called him and said, sir, let me give you where that come from. So yeah, I want to know. So it come from Satan. Isaiah said that Satan want to be like God. Wow, I said, thank you very much. And I hang up. I tell you, that's what it is. Take control of yourself. Don't let the thoughts of this world, don't let the desires of your flesh take control of yourself. Let God take control of yourself. He's been asking a lot of questions. Pastor, can I do sex, intimate relationship before marriage? The Bible said no. You maybe have desires. You maybe enjoy it physically and mentally. But the Bible say no. If you're going to live by God, you live by God. Choose the way you want to live. By God or by yourself. And see the end. Alright, let's work, because time is getting. By taking control of yourself and watch the symptoms of an individual. When an individual is not under the control of God, there are about four symptoms here. Verse 24, let's go back to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 24. Here are four symptoms that tell you that you are not under the God's control. Verse 24, put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. An uncontrolled mouth. That's not godly. That's a symptom that you are not under control. Verse 25, an uncontrolled eye. Let an eye look right on, and let an eyelid look straight before thee. You know, I preach in a lot of Christian schools. And it was in pretty much large Christian schools. And they called me, because I was a psychologist, they called me to speak with them. I only speak with the Word of God. And they said, Pastor, they said, that after you talk, they have questions. And young people are smart. I tell you, they are really looking for trouble. And so I was speaking a great presentation of a holy life, especially what you look on it. And a young fellow that dated my daughter for a few months until I intervened. Now, a young fellow stood up and said, Pastor Otero, you're talking about the eye. I want to know, what do you do? I said, okay, tell me. So he called somebody to stand up, a lady. And she was maybe 17, 18. And she was built like a Coca-Cola bottle. And I mean, absolutely beautiful. And so he said to me, smiling, and now he had me on his hand, all right? He said, now, Pastor Otero, you're driving the car, and you see this girl walking on the street. What do you do? He was so happy and sit down. So I said, Lord, help me. And so I said, tell you what I do honestly. I take a good look and I say, how beautiful what God has made. And everybody applauds and I get out of the problem. Now, verse 25, uncontrolled eye. And I told the class, and if I look again, then I sin. And if I look again, then I sin. Verse 26, uncontrolled decision making. ponder the path of thy feet. Before you sign a paper, before you say yes to a girl or to a boy, ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. In other words, an uncontrolled decision make it. I'm going to marry this girl. You know who she is? No. But you know who is the boy? No. Come on. Ponder the path. Remember, you make a decision. And I tell you, that will give you a destiny that you cannot reverse. So God said one of the symptoms of uncontrolled human personality is an uncontrolled decision making. Whatever comes to my mind, I do without pondering the path of my life. Verse 27, uncontrolled behavior. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. In other words, I do what I want. This is very typical in America. I do what I want. I disobey my parent. That's my style. Now, that's not your style. You see, uncontrolled behavior. Turn not to the right, turn not to the left. I remember. In 1965, we came, Midian was two. 3 years later, 1968, Midian goes to kindergarten, and we don't know better. We thought that all the public schools were Christian. So two houses from us was a public school. We went over there. And Midian sit down at my table. We all sit down, well-dressed, with a tablecloth, like in South America, to eat. And she said, I do it myself. I said to my wife, where did she learn that? She said, I don't know. I said, okay, darling, how nice. Who told you I do it myself? My teacher. Well, the next day, I went to see the teacher. He said, I'm the father of this little girl, and you taught her to be herself. He said, yes. Well, that's very bad. That's very bad. In America, we are free. No, hold it. Don't talk about America. We're a Christian family. Are you a Christian? Oh, yeah, I belong to the Presbyterian Church. So well, you talk to your pastor. You will see that you cannot be yourself, because if you are yourself, you're a sinner. That's wrong psychology. She said, but in America, we have the freedom. In America, I have this girl, it's mine. I took it home. She said, you are forced to bring it here. No. I said, you have to kill me, and if you come to my house, I kill you. So that's simple. So they thought I'm going to do it. Nobody came. So we called the man who brought us to America. I said, what's going on? Oh, Gabriel, I forgot to tell you. 1965, the country is in shambles. I fix you. And so he went to the Reformed Church in Alameda, California, who has a large school, and only the Reformed people can go over there. And he intervened on my behalf so that my daughter can be in a Christian school. There was no homeschooling at that time. And you know, look at how far, 1965. Imagine today, who knows what they said? See, is an don't turn to the right, don't turn to the left. Don't do that. Don't take liberties to say, well, I go a little bit here, a little bit there. Don't do like we do when we drive. We drive at 65 and suddenly nobody's around, push it to 75. Nobody's around, push it to 85. I went to Las Vegas, they go 90. I mean, they go 90. Even a truck with a trailer went 90. Crazy. We are used to that. We push our life a little out of the line. And what the Bible said, turn not to the right, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Well, it's not that scary. I tell you, if we practice this, America will be different. If we practice this, America will be a different country. We don't need atomic bombs. We don't need an army. We need people who said, we will not turn to the right. We will not turn to the left. I will move my foot from evil. Now, so what is the conclusion? I found the conclusion in the fifth book of the Bible, Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19. The fifth book of the Bible, you know, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the fifth book of Moses in the Hebrew Bible, chapter 30 and verse 19. Chapter 30 and verse 19. Moses said this, I call heaven and earth as witness today against you, The eye has set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. Papas and mamas, choose life. Choose life that your children may live. Father and mother, please choose life. Choose the word of God. Show your children how Jesus died for us on the cross of Calvary. Show your children what sin has done with Adam. Show your children how blessed we are that we have a Bible and we can read that Jesus came just to do what we cannot do, save ourselves. Choose life, and you will be blessed, and your children will be blessed. Thank you, Father, for the blessedness of the gospel. Thank you, Father, for the instructions of thy word, the law of life. Simply, to eat and to drink from the manna of thy word. Lord, Lord, bless us. Bless every church in America that they will drop the teachings of any other thing except the Bible. And let us strongly believe. Oh God, help the parents to teach this book to their children. And cause your grace and mercy to fall upon those who believe not, that they too may understand and be transformed. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
Call it Victor, and that's it. You know, you don't have to even, we let the students go, but this one will never return as a member here again. Just go over there, be in a church in the area, and from there she's going to get married and go on and on. I'm just for students. Okay, let's stand up and pray and you start off. Father, from time to time we have people depart from the church and it breaks our heart, but in this case, not only breaks our heart, we pray for her future. You have given a gift. And Father, I'm sure that she will find opportunities in the world to work with her gift, but let her know that her gift is given by you, and that she always may use her gift to praise your name. Thank you for allowing us to have Shelley with us all these years. And now may your blessings, and may your love, your mercy and grace follow her all of her days. In Jesus we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. 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 Thank you.